Sounding good. You know it's good when the drummer breaks his stick. It was like perfect. It was like on the very last, like, you know how you do the big thing and then you finish like with the double crash. And that's when the stick goes. It's just like you cannot do that better. Look at that. Someone should keep that and it'll be worth something one day. $100. Maybe on put it on eBay, Josh Whalen, something like that. Yeah, should definitely. Awesome. Yeah, we've got two halves. We can double our money. All right. Welcome to Explosion. It's been pretty awesome so far. I'm just going to pray to start. God, I just thank you so much for your presence here tonight. God, I thank you that you have a word for us here, Lord, and I just pray that you would just put it in our hearts really strong and just really clear, God. And Lord, that you would just speak through me in a really strong way, God, and that it would be none of us and none of our ideas, God, but just your word that would just go into our hearts and impact our lives tonight, God. And so we just pray your hand over this time that we have together, and Lord, that you would really speak. Amen. I was thinking about it, and I'm going to say, I got a simple message tonight, and realize that I think I say that like every other week. And so I think I may be realizing that maybe all my messages are simple. And I think that is a good thing because there's no point in me having a message that's super complex and then nobody understands it. Sure, I could look intelligent or religious or something, but what's the point of that really? And I want to share around a story that if you've been around church, you would have heard a lot of times, and I was kind of thinking about that and thinking about how there's these stories in the Bible that if you've grown up in church, you've heard them a lot. But my realization tonight, and hopefully you can take it with this heart the way that I did, but I don't know, but for somebody here tonight, this might be the first time you've ever heard this story. And when I started to think about this story as if it was the first time I'd ever heard it, then it really changes the way you hear God's word. And thinking about how you read the Bible and you read the word of God every day and you read the same things, but God just speaks new things into your heart from it, and just how alive the word of God is, and how it's not just like any other book where you pick it up and you've read it before, but it just speaks to you. And so I just really encourage you just to be open, because I really want to just share just some stuff around this story tonight, and so hopefully just be open to hear what God is saying in that, yeah? The title of my message tonight is Their Sin, My Sin, and Jesus. Have you ever noticed that other people's sin is really interesting to us? Anybody? Start off with just say outside of church, just in the world. There is a whole industry built around people being interested in other people's wrongdoing. We have gossip columns, tabloid magazines, websites that there is just this, there's a whole career that you can build. I do some photography for my work, and there is a whole side of photography that's paparazzi, yeah? And it's basically, that's an entire career built around being interested in other people's sin. And it's amazing how there's this thing inside of us that just wants to know what other people are doing, particularly the things that they're doing wrong, and make judgment about it. And it's no different in the church, yeah? We do this so often, and we just have this sort of attitude where it's just what? They did what? You know what I mean? And just gossip and all this stuff that we talk about, and sometimes you try and spiritualize it. He's like, I just want to share this with you so that we can encourage each other and we can pray. But did you hear what they did last week? We have this thing in us that's just so quick to see the sin in other people's lives, and so quick to make a judgment, and whether that's accurate or not doesn't really matter, but there's this thing in our heart that's just I don't know, but in a way I think it's because we're trying to make ourselves feel better. We feel like there's this ranking system where you know, if I can figure out that all these other people are doing all this stuff, then maybe that means that I'm pretty good. Like, maybe that means that I'm better. Like, we make that kind of distinction, yeah? And so I kind of want to talk a bit like about that tonight. And there's this story, and it's in John 8. And maybe if you've got your Bible, like, we're staying here all night, so you might as well open it up. And this story is about this woman who, it says, is caught in the act of adultery. And so I'm going to read a bit of it, and we're going to just share about that, because this is, I really think it's a really interesting story about judgment, about like blame setting, but also this incredible story of forgiveness and grace and love and justice and mercy. And there is so much packed into it. So we're just going to share around that tonight. So it says this, it says, Jesus has gone to this festival that all the Jewish people have gone to. Jesus has gone there, and he's been teaching in the synagogue, and he's been talking to people about life and just, like, you know, doing his thing. And it says that, like, Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives this night to pray and everything. And then it's at dawn, that's early, Liz was there. As I see the first rays of dawn, I'm up early. Anyway, it says, at dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people had gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. But then the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" So they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. So what happens is there's this woman, and she is caught doing something wrong, yeah? And there's no denying that. And so the Pharisees catch her in the act somehow, and it doesn't really clarify how that kind of went down. And they bring her before Jesus because they want to judge her. They've already judged her, but they want to hear Jesus' judgment. And it's really interesting how Jesus responds to the obvious sin here, but also how he responds to the sin in the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and how much that just reveals of Jesus' character. And so tonight I want to talk like about Jesus' response, but also about like how the Pharisees went about, because there's these other characters in this story. There's the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. There's the way that they came and the expectation, the judgment they brought. And then there's this woman that is brought out, humiliated, caught in sin before Jesus, yeah? And I think it's really interesting to see just the actions, to see the hearts of the people in this story. And just like how Jesus responds to that, yeah? So, I'll keep reading the story. It says that Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now, leave your life of sin." This is such an incredible story. So, firstly, I want to talk about their sin. And when I say that, I mean, from our perspective, from your perspective, there, like as in another person's sin that you see. Yeah? You with me? Okay. So for in this story, for instance, the Pharisees have brought this woman out to Jesus because they've seen her sin. And they want something to happen about it. And as they bring her out to judge her, they humiliate her. She's been brought out, like, it says she was caught in the act of adultery. So, like, you can get the picture. She's just been dragged out, who knows what wearing, probably nothing, out into the middle of this temple court. And it says that she was made to stand there in front of this crowd of people. And the Pharisees have come out and they've said, like, they're expecting judgment. But not only that, they're not even that worried about this woman and judging her. They really just want to use her to get at Jesus. How incredible is that? That they treat her as nothing and they're like all self-righteous about what she's done. And like, I just thought about that. I thought, well, what is my reaction? What is our reaction when we see or hear about the sin of another person? Because I think it can often be like these Pharisees. And maybe you're not calling for somebody to be stoned to death. But like, maybe there is judgment in our hearts. Maybe we see that and we think, oh, well, I wouldn't have done that. I would never do something like that. Or like, oh, I can't believe that they would do that. And there's this woman here, and it's not like the sin is like in contention. Like, everybody is aware that she has sinned, yeah? It's clear, it's obvious. There's no kind of denying or hiding it. But the way that the Pharisees respond to her sin versus the way that Jesus responds to her sin is really interesting. And something that we need to think about, I think. Jesus, I was really struck by... It says, Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And so many people have tried to come up with ideas of what Jesus was writing on the ground in that time. And I'm not going to add my theory to the list. Because really there's no evidence at all to support any argument you might make about what he was writing. But what really stood out to me in this is that Jesus takes a moment to stop. And instead of it says that the Pharisees, it's dawn. They bring this woman out. So what's happened is straight, they've caught her in the act. And instantly they've just grabbed her and they've pulled her into the temple courts for judgment. It's not even breakfast. Yeah? Straight away. And I think when we react with a judgmental attitude to people, it's like an instantaneous thing. It's this thing that happens without time to actually think about your response. But when Jesus, when this woman is brought to Jesus, he stops and he thinks. He comprehends the situation. He spends time sitting there and it's just like they keep pestering him, but he waits. I can just imagine how frustrated these Pharisees are getting. They're trying to do this thing. They've got this big plan about how they're going to trap Jesus and then they'll have something to accuse him with because he's been doing so much incredible stuff, making them honestly look like fools, and they want to bring him down. And then he sits there and he just stoops down the ground and just sits. And they'll be like, what is going on? Yeah? Jesus waits and then responds right into the heart of the situation. And it's incredible. He bypasses everything that these Pharisees have said. Notice he doesn't even address the sin in the woman's life yet. He doesn't even talk about what this woman has done at all. They've come to him with accusation about somebody else and he just puts it straight back on these guys and says, which one of you hasn't sinned? And it's really interesting that we can go through life and we can put this stuff on people without stopping and thinking about our response. When we see the sin in other people's lives, and sometimes it could be obvious, but it doesn't matter. When we see it, stop and just think about Jesus' response to it, yeah? He doesn't respond out of judgment. He doesn't make this rash judgment call out of anger like these Pharisees has, but he stops and he thinks. He cares about the people. He cares about the truth. Yeah? And he shows such wisdom and such grace. It's just amazing. It says that he says, let any one of you that isn't, that is without sin be the one to throw the first stone. And then he just sits back down. He's barely interacting in this situation. It's he's not even interested. And so they just started to leave one by one as they were just convicted of the sin in their own life. And so, like, I think when we think about the sins of others, let's think just about Jesus' response to that. And the other thing I want to talk about is my sin. And that's the things that I've done wrong, or you have done wrong for yourself. You know that I'm talking from my perspective. I think it's so easy to get caught up in just like the law of doing good things, and we can go around thinking that we're a good person because like we have like a moral code or a value system, because we have these sort of things, and because we don't do like really bad stuff. And it's like you make mistakes, but you don't do really bad stuff, so that means you're all right. And sometimes you could read this story and you could think of yourself as like one of the Pharisees, these guys that were like keeping all of the rules. Or maybe you think that you're just one of the people in the crowd that's just kind of watching this situation unfold. But like in reality, we're the woman. In the truth, in essence, we are this person, yeah, that has sinned and has been caught red-handed. And has just been brought before God. And just like this woman was brought before Jesus, like without, she's unable to hide anything. She's totally exposed. There's going to be this time in our lives where we're brought before God in the exact same way. And all of the excuses, all of the reasonings, all of the good things that we've done will mean nothing because we'll be totally exposed in our sin. And the incredible, like I think the incredible thing about that is not like that God judges us, but that Jesus' reaction to somebody being open about their sin is love, is forgiveness, is restoration. Like he steps in on this woman's behalf and saves her life. And she's the one that has sinned. It's so incredible, yeah? And so like, then we get this situation where the Pharisees walk away one at a time, condemned. But this woman walks away totally free. As long as we think that we are good in our own effort, we can't be used by God. But as soon as we realize that we've sinned, that we have all sinned, then God can heal and forgive and move in our lives. Amen? Then God can free us. But when you hold on to your things and when you push them aside, then God can't deal with that. But Jesus can step into the life of this woman because there is no hiding it. And she realizes that she's got nothing. Like she can't hide a thing. She's totally exposed and vulnerable. And that's exactly where we need to be to interact with God. Amen. That's exactly where we need to be to respond to the love of God. And when Jesus speaks to this woman and he says, has nobody condemned you? Because all of these other people have just been condemned by their own sin, by their own judgment. He says, well, neither do I. And what's amazing about this is that there's one person in this situation who could rightfully throw a stone. And that's Jesus. He's the only one there who has never sinned. And he says it. He says, well, let the person who hasn't sinned throw the first stone. That would be him. But he says, I don't condemn you either. That's so incredible. Amen? That here we have God, here we have Jesus, who is the only person in the world ever that could condemn us for the things that we've done. Because you can't be condemned by other people. You can't be condemned by yourself. The only person that can rightfully condemn you is God. But the amazing thing is that he doesn't. He acts in love and grace. And he says to this woman, I don't condemn you either. Now go and leave your life of sin. And I'm amazed that Jesus forgives this woman before he tells her to stop sinning. Because often our logic is, if you stop doing that wrong thing, I will forgive you. Yeah? And we use it as like a condition for pardon. It's like a good behavior thing. Like, you know that you've done something, they've done something wrong, and so as long as they stop and they get better, then I'll forgive them. But Jesus has flipped this on its head. And he just says, I forgive you flat out. I do not condemn you. Now go and stop sinning. The right things that we do, living a life like where you don't sin or you try not to sin, isn't for God's love. It's because of God's love. It is a response that is birthed out of understanding that God has the right to condemn you, but he doesn't. And so then my response to that is not to abuse that, is not to throw that back at him and say, well, since you're not going to condemn me, I'm going to go do what I want. But it's to say, I can't believe how much you love me. And so because of that, I'm going to live my life for you, yeah? Following, like, the Christian life and the commands of the Bible, the commands of Jesus are not about a set of rules or getting enough points to get into heaven. Yeah? It's a response to total love and grace from God. And this, the people in this story just really interest me, and it really struck me today as I was just preparing and reading it, because we can get so caught up in how we see their sin. The way that other people like have treated us, have treated others, the thing that they have done wrong. And we can get so like interested and so like, I was listening to Judas Smith the other day and he was talking about just like church and how people are sometimes and judgment. And he says like, he was talking about that sharp inhale of breath. They're like, when you hear about something that somebody has done, you're just like, how dare we? How dare we judge like that when we know that we're not without sin? And that's what Jesus says to the Pharisees. He says, don't worry so much about the sin that this woman has committed. He says, that'll be dealt with in the appropriate way. He says, what about your sin? And they all walk away. I really would be interested to... I think it would have been really interesting if a few of those Pharisees had sort of stayed, not to judge this woman, but to talk to Jesus. Because there's an opportunity right there for them to respond to the love and the grace of God exactly the way this woman received it. If they had just said, yeah, Jesus, you're right, and I'm sorry. Then he would have said the same thing to them that he said to this woman, but they didn't. They walked away. And we have an opportunity, whether we think we're all right or whether we don't, we have an opportunity to turn around to Jesus and say, look, I know, and I'm sorry. And his response will always be the same. His response will always be, well, I don't condemn you. I don't judge you. He said, I can, but I don't. Go and leave your life of sin. And I think there's such freedom in that. And so much more power in this woman's life than, well, for one, obviously, more good is going to come out of her life after this, just like other than her just being stoned to death. Like, that's ultimate, like, that's the worst possible outcome for her, obviously. But not only that, like, she could have been punished by Jesus. Jesus could have told her off. He could have ripped her down and she would like, and he could have done that. He had the right to do that. But he forgives her and he blesses her as she leaves. And I really believe that he just had such a profound impact on her life. And we have the opportunity, one, to receive that from Jesus, but also to give that to other people. Imagine how much more impact you will have on somebody if when they do something to hurt you, you turn around with love rather than judgment. And like it's just like a mind trip because it doesn't make sense. It defies logic. It turns it on its head, and that is what Jesus did and always will do. Amen? So tonight, like, I just really want to give us all the opportunity to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Like, I know, one, I know that I've sinned. Two, I know that I have judged other people's sin. Can you please just forgive me? And as soon as we do that, he does. So maybe if someone can play and maybe just, I don't know, just this be in an attitude of prayer, and I'm just going to pray about that. God, we understand that we're not righteous on our own, that we're not all good, that we're not all holy and religious, God, and anything like that. And Lord, we understand that we never can be. Lord, we understand that we are way more like the woman caught in adultery than anybody else in this story. And Lord, we're just before you right now with nothing to hide, because we know we can never hide anything from you. Lord, I just pray that you would just forgive us our sins, come into our lives, God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love towards us, and that God, as we humble ourselves, that you will move in our lives. God, we know that you can use sinners, God, but you can't use the proud. And so, God, I pray that we would just be humble people that want to be used by you, God, that you would just free us from the things that bind us up, and God, that we would be able to just leave our life of sin and follow after you, Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you have never, ever, maybe you've never been to church before, but maybe you've never heard about Jesus that way. And Jesus is like, seemed to be this religious figure that was around a while back and said some stuff. But the reality is, this is Jesus in this story is the real Jesus. The Jesus in this story is the Jesus that wants to meet with you tonight, right where you're at. And just like this woman, he wants to just get down with you and sit there and talk and understand and not condemn, but release you. That he wants relationship with you. He wants to forgive you. And so tonight, if you want to know that Jesus, maybe for the first time ever, if you're realizing that there's stuff in your life that has just separated you from God, there's stuff in your life that you can't control, there's stuff in your life that has been holding you down, that there is sin in your life, and you want to just put that before God and let him breathe on it, then I want to pray with you tonight. So if that's you, maybe just raise your hand with me. Awesome. If you just want, maybe for the first time, or maybe again after a long time, I don't know, but you want Jesus to come into your life and just wash you fresh, you can have that right now. So if that's you, just, yeah, put up your hand and we'll pray together. Awesome. Thank you, God. God, I just thank you for every person here tonight. God, I thank you for people who have responded tonight and put up their hand. But God, for people who you are speaking into their heart. God, I thank you for your love for us, your grace and your mercy, and that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, Lord. That you do not judge, God, but that you forgive, that you heal, that you restore, and that you then send us out, God, to follow you. And I pray that tonight you would just bring healing and forgiveness in every heart and every life. And God, particularly people who have responded to you tonight, God, that you would just wash over them, God, in a powerful way, God, and just put something new in their spirit, God, and help us all to understand that we are not judged, that we are not condemned. And God, I just pray for all of us here tonight that we would never be tempted to become like these Pharisees. That we would always understand our sin, and we would never judge their sin. And God, that you would just be fresh and real in our lives every single day. Thank you, God. Amen. Maybe just everyone stand together. We're going to pray this prayer together to finish. And if you put your hand up tonight, then this is the prayer for you to say, to commit to God and to give yourself to him. So we're just going to pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen.